Plans for the future. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. President Biden gives a speech in Pittsburgh today announcing plans for up to $4 trillion in infrastructure spending, things like better internet, roads, and bridges, and also child and health care and education. He's proposing a corporate tax hike to help pay for it. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
The speech is really about his vision for creating jobs, good-paying union jobs, and really investing in the industries of the future. But he thinks it's the responsible thing to do to propose a way to pay for that over time.
Texas House Republican Kevin Brady.
No president has ever raised business taxes trying to rebuild an economy from an economic crisis. I think at the end of the day, this will be the biggest economic blunder, frankly, of our lifetimes.
He was on Fox Business. Day three of the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis starts with more testimony from an off-duty firefighter who was there when the former police officer was arresting George Floyd with a knee on his neck. She says she was prevented by police from intervening to provide medical attention before Floyd died. A man accused of beating a 65-year-old Asian woman on a New York City sidewalk Monday is under arrest. The attack was caught on surveillance video.
The suspect's name is Brandon Elliott, and he appears to be the African-American male in the video, stomping on the victim's head multiple times while screaming ethnic slurs while no onlookers intervened. Elliott, the suspect, has a history of violent crime. He had been out of prison on parole despite being sentenced to 15 years to life for stabbing his own mother to death.
Fox's Evan Brown. The New York Times reports the victim's daughter has identified her as Vilma Kari. She immigrated from the Philippines. Wisconsin Supreme Court strikes down Governor Tony Evers' statewide mask mandate, ruling 4-3 he exceeded his authority and needs legislative approval to extend a public health emergency action for more than 60 days. The mask order first took effect in August, and the governor extended it four times since then. He's a Democrat. The court is controlled by conservatives. America's listening to Fox News.
The border is in crisis. President Trump made the border a priority, but Biden is spending $86 million on hotel rooms for migrants. Now, Grant Stinchfield investigates Biden's executive orders and dangerous policies. Watch Stinchfield on Newsmax TV tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern as he reveals the dangers. Find Newsmax TV on all major cable systems or get it free on Roku, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, and smart TVs. Plus, download the free Newsmax app on your phone. Help protect our border. Watch Newsmax TV's Stinchfield tonight.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/...
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with 4 locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Another day of sunshine and warm temperatures, and it only gets warmer as we head into the weekend. Breezy today, 88 this afternoon. Tomorrow, even warmer, 94 the high. By speeding up the hiring process, Indeed puts the dash in dashboard. Use Instant Match to connect immediately with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Then use your dashboard to conduct interviews. Find out more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
With Chamber Chatter, I'm Kimberly Kale, the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Executive Director. Chamber Chatter this morning is being brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area, and as always, we are only going to discuss the good stuff from the Chamber. So this morning we took away Russ Clark's microphone. Sorry, Russ. He's like giving me all the, you know, poor pitiful pearl look over there. But that's okay because we have some amazing people in the studio with us this morning. We have Lorraine Cummings and Don Levis from, we're going to be talking about how money works. So good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning.
Good morning and good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm just going to let you kind of go because, I mean, I looked everything up on the internet last night, but how money works. And I love this little graphic on their website. So if you look at it, it's howmoneyworks.com/Lorraine Cummings. But the number one economic crisis in the world is financial illiteracy, and that's basically how this book started. And you teach a class based on the book.
That's true. I do teach a class. As a matter of fact, we're going to do two live classes tomorrow. But I'm fairly new to Yuma. I've only been here about a year and a half, and I've gotten started with How Money Works after my divorce. And so it put me on a whole new path of making sure I was prepared for retirement. But the How Money Books work has been a godsend because I think most of us are so scared to tackle finances. We don't feel like we are educated enough. So this book makes it super simple because it's written actually in cartoon form.
And who doesn't love cartoons? We're going to make it easy. I love the front where it says, stop being a sucker.
That's right. Well, do you know why they put a sucker on there?
I do not. I have not read the book, I will admit.
So. Well, let me tell you a funny story. So okay. How many of you guys, when you were kids, used to go to the drive-thru with your parents?
At the bank.
And what did they give you?
A sucker.
And typically, what kind was it?
Ours was safety suckers.
Ours were dum-dum.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Coincidence?
Ours were not. Ours were the safety suckers that had the little loop on the bottom. apparently, my parents' bank thought the more highly of their customers, huh? Mm-hmm. So that's perfect. So tell me, like, how did this help during your divorce? I mean, how did this help you?
So I was actually married to a military man for 21 years. And
okay.
When we went through our divorce, during the marriage, I would ask him, don't I need life insurance? Don't I need my own retirement plan? Because I was very successful in a network marketing company and was making great money. But he always kept saying, we don't need that. That's why I'm putting 20 years in the military, so we're taken care of when we retire, when
uh-huh.
I retire. Well, that worked great while we were together. But when we were no longer together,
right.
And there's a misunderstanding even around the military that once you're married to a military person for 10 years, you get half the retirement.
Right.
Not so. We were married 15 years of his active duty time. I was entitled to 34%. I took 30% just because I wanted him to keep lifetime benefits on me. But that's not enough to live on.
No.
People have this misconception of how much they actually make and what their retirement check is.
Yeah, my nephew just retired in September from the Marines, and he's working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
most yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I started at 45 going, holy crap, I'm not really prepared for retirement, what's going to happen. And don't get me wrong, again, I still make great money from another source. But Don is an old friend of mine from San Antonio because that's where we were stationed.
Okay.
And so we had reconnected, and we were chatting and stuff, and she was telling me that she was now doing insurance. And my first words to her was, Don, insurance is not very sexy.
No, but
kind of laughed
like necessary.
That. So then she kind of told me a couple stories. What'd you tell me?
Well, I was telling you about my life and how I'd lost over $124,000 during 08, but I'm not the only person that had that. And
yep.
Had around $24,000 left in my 401k, and when I found that that doesn't help you retire, and shortly thereafter, my husband and I actually adopted 3 children, and I chose to stay home. I had $24,000 and no income, no retirement.
Mm-hmm.
What do? You have to find a place to start over, but how many of your parents talked about, like, if you asked your mom, you know, hey, Kim, how much is the, you know, mortgage? What do parents tell their kids? Well, you have a roof over the head and shoes on your feet and food in your belly. What do you need to know? We don't educate our kids.
I must have had unusual parents because I could have told you how much my parents'
could
mortgage
you?
Was.
Oh,
yeah.
Not mine.
Now, what's interesting is I could tell you what my parents' mortgage was, and my mom could tell you what their mortgage was, but I bet my dad couldn't.
That brings up a great point.
Yeah, and that's something we've talked a lot about. So one of my missions really is to make sure that couples understand they both need to be involved in
mm-hmm.
their finances. They both need to understand what's going on. in that world. It can't be just dominated by one person, because whether it's divorce or death, what happens when the primary person who takes care of those things passes or is no longer part of the family? Then mm-hmm. the person not involved is one, I don't even know where to start.
Right.
And so that's kind of what happened to me. I made good money, but I let him handle all that stuff. That,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was the social one. I like meeting people. I like that part. But I didn't really care about the numbers so much.
So how did you figure out $24,000 in the bank and three brand new kids?
Well, I had to go find something new. And I started doing some research, and a friend of mine says, why don't you get your insurance license? Kind of like I told Lorraine. And when I started to educate myself and realize that there's different ways to actually have money. There's tax money.
Mm-hmm.
There's pre-tax money.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know that there's tax-free money, or we, you know, ways for you to have money? And there's only really two ways to do that. And I started looking into it, because the number one fear most people think is public speaking. I'm not scared of that at all. It's really to go and outlive your money. That is the number one fear of most people, because then they have to live on their friends, family, and the government. And if anybody looks around, the government doesn't really want to take really great care of you, because mm-hmm. my mom lives, she's on Social Security, and it's all of $1,248.
Well, and it keeps going up. I think my fully vested Social Security was 70, and now it's 72 or something. I mean, it keeps going up.
Right, yeah, 70. Do you want to work to 72?
Not exactly.
Yeah, I don't know many people that do.
I mean, I love the chamber, but...
Yeah, yeah, you're like, but that's not the idea of, you know, because there's that, you know, there's a go-go phase, there's a slow-go phase, and then there's a no-go phase, right? That's what I tell my clients. I'm like, which phase do you want to be in when you retire? I still want to be in that go-go phase. You know, our kids are, my last one's 17, getting ready to be out of the house in college. I'm looking at that go-go phase where I can come see Lorraine, or we can mm-hmm. go to California, or we can go to wherever it is. But it's really a money thing. And if you don't understand how money works, you're going to work till you die.
So how does this book tell you how money works?
Well, it starts off with financial education. Just these basics should have truly been taught in high school. And we can teach this class truly in high school. So one of the first sections in here is financial literacy is the number one economic crisis in the world. And that's kind of scary when you think about it, but there's 5 billion people that truly doesn't understand how money works. In my home state, I come from West Virginia, that's my home state, and I know I've seen generations of poverty, just generation mm-hmm. after generation after generation, and not necessarily living on the government, just not knowing how to break the cycle of poverty, living on credit cards, borrow money, all those things. We just make financial mistakes because we never learned how to take care of our finances. And that should have started in high school, you know, mm-hmm. long before. So the book actually walks you through some financial literacy. It talks about less than 44% of Americans have less than $400 emergency fund.
Mm-hmm. I would believe that.
I don't know about you, but that's new tires on my car.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I think we started to see that during COVID. When mm-hmm. that started coming through, that many people started freaking out. Where am I going to get my rent payment? Where mm-hmm. am I going to feed the kids? Where am I? How scary is that to have to wait and live on waiting for somebody to do that? We need to educate people. We need to help people understand that you can do this. And a lot of companies try and charge you, hey, let me charge you this big amount of money. We do it for free.
Right. I'm like, I agree. I think a lot of people.
Okay. Right, right now, right? We help you.
I'm like, Russ is volunteering to go take the class immediately.
So you're coming on Thursday. Is it noon or 6?
And we will get back on that. We'll talk a little bit more about the class after we get back from this break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
They get up every morning from the long, hot morning,
560 KBLU. I am Kimberly Kale, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And we are here this morning talking about how money works with Lorraine Cummings. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Jim.
And Dawn Levis. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
Who is visiting us from Texas. So
yes.
Yay.
I'm excited.
Who got snow.
Snowmageddon. That was awful.
It was Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon.
So you have a class coming up tomorrow. Let's get that in. We want to make sure that we have actually two classes coming up tomorrow out at the airport. Can you tell us more about those?
Yes, the classes are at Brewers Airport, at Brewers in the airport, upstairs. There's going to be one at noon and one at 6 p.m., and it's a master class on how money works. It's $6 to come, but with your $6, you're going to get a copy of the book to take home with you. It's yours for free, and we'll have some light refreshments and stuff there for you to enjoy. But the class will take about an hour, and you're going to walk away with way more than $6 worth of education.
Okay, so give me an idea what I'm going to, because... You know, we were just talking about before the break that Russ mentioned, he's like, you know, saving is for you rich people, and he's poor, and he can't afford it. And
come on, Rich.
Well, Don, so, I can tell you about the rule of 72. Do you know what the rule of 72 is?
I do not. What is the rule of 72?
So the rule of 72 is one of my favorite things. It's like the eighth wonder of the world, right? So where it is a magical little number that you divide 72 by the percentage that you get in your investments, and it tells you how long it takes for your money to double. So if you have 1% and you have it, and that's like, we'll just pretend the average bank account here in Yuma gives you 1% in savings. Yuma, are you guys listening? Are you giving at least 1%? here's my question. That means it takes 72 years if you have $100 for it to double to 2. How...
That's a long time.
That is a long time. Yes, it is. So what if you could get 6%? You know, what if you could get 8%? And most people think, well, the average, there's a lot of companies that was like, hey, we have a guaranteed rate of 3%. What's inflation? 3%.
Yeah.
So you're flattening out back to that 72 year thing is kind of how I look at that. So there are ways that you can put your money in using the rule of 72. We find products that fit for you, that actually give you the ability to double your money anywhere from every 6 to 12 years, you know. And if I can get your money to double every 6 to 10 years, that's what I'm always looking at. It's kind of my goal when I sit and talk with people. That's also where you don't lose money. So my biggest rule, I've learned after 08, losing so much money, I can't do that again. I am almost 48 years old. I don't have enough doubles to be able to have that kind of money to be able to retire. So not only do I want an investment strategy that with the rule of 72 I can go in and find, but I also want to make sure that I have enough time, and I only have a shorter amount of time because I don't want to work till I'm 72, Miss Kim.
And I'm with you. We're almost the same age, and my child is also 17 and going to be a senior in high school.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're in a very similar boat.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what would you advise someone like me that, like, okay, let's say, you know, COVID kind of, you know, took a major hit on my savings account, and we moved to Yuma in the middle of it. And so how do I save money? How do I prepare for retirement when I don't want to wait till I'm 72 to retire?
Well, if you don't start preparing now, I use an analogy. So when is the best time to plant a tree, Kimberly?
Yesterday. No,
30 years ago. 30 years ago, that's right. When's the very second best time?
Today,
right. So if we don't start today and we don't start making slight changes, what happens is we have that American society that's microwave, okay? How many drive-thrus do we have that you can get your meal, and if it's less than 2 minutes, you freak out, right? Or you put it in the microwave and you want your microwave meal. People don't realize it takes time and education, and if we can get more people, you know, like at our age, I just had to buckle down and start doing it because I started going, okay, do I really need that 15th pair of shoes? Or should I put that money in a place? You laugh because I have about 45.
I would say 15th. I mean, 115th.
Oh, yes. That's probably more true. You know, but there's things that you make sacrifices now because if we don't, we are going to be living on friends, family, and the government. And I don't know if you want to do that. So when do you make that sacrifice? When do you start educating and saying, does it really hurt if you don't see it? And it has starts coming out and you start realizing it's there. So we sit down and do, there is no like one size fits all either. I can't tell you that there is because that would be a lie because what works for you may not work for Russ, which may not work for Lorraine.
Well, Russ already said he didn't have the money to save.
So he's going to work till he dies.
Find the money? Got it. Yeah, he's going to work till he dies. Not paid, probably.
Well, no,
on top
he has
it.
That billionaire friend of his that's going to take care of him.
No.
No, he's not.
He just points out that he's four. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so and now I forgot what I was going to ask because you got made me lose my train of thought.
Well, let me throw something in real quick. We were talking about the rule of 72 and how it can work in your favor, but it's also a double-edged sword because it can also work against you. What's the average credit card interest rate?
Yeah, is this somewhere, I was going to say 20%. I don't know. But
so we've, according to the book, it's around 17%.
Okay.
So how long does it take your money to double at 17%? 4 years. So
right.
You bought that pair of shoes on a credit card for $100. You may make the minimum monthly payment. It's going to take you 4 years and $200 to pay off that $100 pair of shoes. So people don't think of that either. Like, credit card's a big thing. And it's so easy. We have an instant access society where we just get what we want and we'll pay for it later. But you're paying four times as much, usually.
Right. I learned that lesson long ago. My credit cards are only for rental car companies, and I pay them off.
Yeah.
You know, places that don't
pay. I love credit cards.
Pay.
I use them every day.
Oh, do you?
Because I want my point.
Got, well, yeah, I, you're right. I have one that gives me frequent flyer miles,
but
I don't use
it
that
much. I pay it off. So there is perks, but people have to be very careful with that. And young people starting out don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known a lot of young people graduate college, get a great job. Let's take my niece, for example, who was graduated as an RN.
Okay.
She was making great money. And within a year, she was $30,000 in credit card debt. You know? And she had the money. She could have paid cash for almost everything she got, but she wanted everything now.
Everybody thinks like that, though. Think about that. And they try and do it in small increments. Think about the $1,000 cell phone. Oh, just pay $15 a month, and the next thing you know, you've upgraded. You haven't even paid off the first.
Yeah, my husband just needed a new cell phone, and you should have seen him when I said, no, we're paying for it in full.
Right.
Like, but you can spread it out over 2 years. I'm like, why would I do that? We'll just pay for it now.
Yeah, but that's how many times is that up? So think about that. There's your Netflix subscription, your Hulu subscription, your Amazon subscription, your this, your that. You know, every $5 you start adding it up, it starts pounding it in, and that's when they're like, well, I'm so poor, I can't afford to retire. Right? So where are those little things that we do? And so every person, we sit down and we go through it individually. We say, hey, just come sit and talk. Let's do an inventory. Because when you start seeing, it was amazing. I had a lady that came in and talk about, she made great money. They were making six-figure incomers, but I called them a higher form of broke. Because they had, you know, three different car payments, toy payments, all these different subscriptions. And I started going through. I said, well, when's the last time you used blah, blah? I said, let's do an inventory and get rid of some of these things to be able to help put that money back in. And what if I could just take those things and use that money to pay for your retirement?
And that's actually what COVID forced me to do. That's actually when COVID hit and I was like trying to figure out where everything was. My bank, I'm fortunate that my bank actually will do my recurring transactions. I can actually just put like click a checkbox and show me my recurring transactions.
Oh,
and so things like Netflix and Hulu and all those things pop right up. And I could kind of go, well, we haven't watched this in, you know, 6 months. Why do we have it and canceled it? And so it made me reevaluate my priorities. It had nothing to do with retirement and everything to do with the fact that I don't want to run out of money. I need to want to keep my savings, actually.
And that's what Lorraine is really working towards here, because we want to start when you're younger. I love getting this. In fact, I'd love to be able to talk to the high school, like your junior, senior year when you're starting to do those planning. Because I give an example, at the age of 20, what you would have to save at 20 and what I have to save at 48 is astronomical. It's on page 49 there, Lorraine. You know, share about those numbers.
She's pulling up the book.
I'm pulling up the book. So at age 20, if you just put away $113 a month at an 8% interest, you'd have over $1 million by the time you retired. Now, at age 50, I'd have to put away $2,000 a month.
Which is a lot.
Is a lot.
Yeah.
And so most people can't do that.
No, exactly.
But when you think about, you know, $113 a month and you've paid it for years and years, you don't miss that. That is your cable. That is your Starbucks for the month. You know, you wouldn't miss that. But you miss $2,000 out of a budget when you're 50.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
In fact, Lorraine actually has an opportunity. We have an interview with a college that wants Lorraine to speak to them.
Well, awesome.
Yeah, first it's going to start with employees and doing some financial education for the employees, because the one thing we've learned is it doesn't matter how much money you make,
It doesn't mean you're financial savvy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how poor you are. You know, some people are poor or lower income, know how to manage their money way better than those who make six figures.
Well, and sometimes they have to, because I'm discovering that, you know, for example, when, you know, I was making more money, I couldn't tell you how much a gallon of milk was.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I mean, none whatsoever.
You have money.
I would have been a terrible contestant on The Price is Right. I didn't know how much any of that stuff was. And then I lost my job, and all of a sudden I knew exactly how much a gallon of milk was.
Exactly.
You know, and paying attention. So sometimes the people who have less money are might actually be more money savvy simply because they have to pay attention.
That's right. They have to be more creative. They have to know where their money is going so they can make it stretch.
Another favorite book of mine is Profit First. If you've never read that book, it's a great book when it comes to business owners. Because, and it goes hand in hand with how money works, because it's the toothpaste mentality. Where, okay, so I'll explain to you. So if you have a tube of toothpaste, are you one of those that squeezes the very last bit out of the very end to get your money's worth? Or are you one of those that there's still toothpaste in and you chunk it?
I will admit, there's still probably toothpaste in it when I chunk it. If it's too much work.
So he explains that, he goes, think about, you were talking about people that might not have as much money, so they may be a cash type person. So if you have $100 to go grocery shopping for that day, and you go in, you probably go in with your checklist and mark it off, okay? Well, what if you had 90? Okay, could you probably buy the same things and be able to do the things that you need? I mean, seriously, could you?
Probably.
Probably. Mm-hmm. And that's how we teach people is, what if I could just take a few dollars here? Yeah, maybe you have to have generic ketchup instead of Heinz. Maybe you have to have a few coupons or, you know, buy one less of something, but you could still essentially do that. The toothpaste mentality. Get as much as you can at $90 and live on that. So we teach people, even when they're doing their business stuff, let me show you how if you take it right off the top, put it away, you're not going to miss it. That's mm-hmm. why people they say, oh, can it be taken out of my check?
Mm-hmm.
So we teach that if when you get it in there, it automatically goes to your savings before you ever see it. It's that toothpaste mentality. You can squeeze just a little more and get the same amount for $90 as you can 10. So we educate people on how to do that. And I can't, my favorite thing is I had one of my clients call me, and they haven't really invested with me. I sat down and did a plan with them, and she called and said, I just paid off my last credit card.
Wow.
And during COVID, they had a water pump and it broke, and they were able to pay cash for it because they had the money already put aside because they put that same amount of money, and now they have other things that they're able to do. They said, they kept telling me, I can't believe what you're going to say is right. How does that make sense? Because they were used to paying across the board and never paying anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, education piece.
Well, and people are surprised. We travel a lot, my family, and they're always surprised. How can you afford to travel so much? And it's, I always say, okay, well, we have housing expenses just like everybody else. We have no car payments. We have no credit card payments. We pay cash for our vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't use credit cards other than, like I mentioned, you know, rental car companies usually require one, that kind of thing. And it's like, it's an amazing, I'm like, when I say to them, I'm like, so your two car payments, what are they? You know, right. $500, $600 a month?
That's right.
If you had $500 or $600 extra dollars a month, how much money do you have to spend, you know, on other things like travel?
Mm-hmm.
And truth of the matter is, we all spend our money where our priorities are.
We do, absolutely.
Absolutely. So we all have different priorities. And I remember being asked years ago, we had our son in private school. And they're like, how do y'all afford private
mm-hmm.
school? It's because it was a priority.
Yep.
Me and my ex-husband, we didn't smoke, we didn't drink. So that leaves a lot of money at the end of the month for the things that are really important. And so you just got to figure out what is a priority. Is your retirement a priority,
mm-hmm.
or is going out to dinner every weekend a priority?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to cut back and stuff. I love to travel. Me and Don both have been in travel clubs. We love to travel, but we just know, like, neither one of us are brand name girls.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't care less whose purse I'm carrying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am perfectly happy with a purse from Walmart or Target.
I'm like, oh, so I'm being told it's time for another break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KVLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, kvluam.com.
You run a business. a business where you're the expert. When it comes to your website, it's okay to admit you're not the expert. You know you have no training, certainly don't have the time or money to work on it. You'd rather just use the free social sites and let it be. What if I told you there was a way to solve that problem? FreeWebGuys.com will build you a free website personalized for your business, and all you pay is hosting, marketing on Google, and you get guaranteed leads every month. Go to FreeWebGuys.com and get your free website for your business right now.
On Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU. And before we get back to how money works, I do have a few announcements for the Chamber. We are still having events. We are still doing virtual events right now. The governor has lifted everything. We are looking at going back to in-person events, but as you know, people who have planned big events know, it takes time to put those all back in place. So in the meantime, we do have Good Morning Yuma coming up next week. It's always the second Thursday of the month, and Mayor Doug Nichols will be on doing the State of the City address. So don't miss that. We're going to be having a mixer that's always on the fourth Wednesday of the month. We don't know what theme it's going to be this month yet, but last month's bingo and beer was a lot of fun. It was sponsored by Lutz Casino, and three people actually won $50 gift cards to Lutz. Coming up, actually, we have a class tomorrow in addition to Lorraine's classes tomorrow. We have a class tomorrow on how to basically retain your employees. Right now, I know a lot of frontline employees are either not working for various reasons, and we need to retain the ones we have. So that actually is free to Chamber members, and it's our breakfast and learn as opposed to a lunch and learn, because we moved it to 8 o'clock in the morning so that people could register and not miss out like on the lunch rush or once retail stores open. And so all of those things are on yumachamber.org. And then on top of it, we do have, I'm excited to announce the Amazing Race Yuma coming up in June. That may end up being our first in-person event. We will see. It will definitely be in person, I can tell you that. And so basically we are going to allow 20 teams of up to four adults to go visit business locations completing challenges around Yuma safely, as Russ reminded me last time I announced it. We do have rules in place. You do have to be safe about it. And on top of it, the businesses are open. So please be safe in the businesses when you're doing these challenges. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We've already gotten a lot of interest from different businesses that are going to be doing the challenges. And I'm hearing a lot of creative ideas on what these challenges are going to be. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun and probably a great way to kick off going back to in-person events for the Chamber. So speaking of that, let's get back. You do have a class tomorrow. I'm going to want to touch on that again. I want to make sure everybody knows that you have two classes tomorrow at Brewers at the airport. So we are talking about how money works with Lorraine Cummings. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Dawn Levis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, and you should see them. If you're on Lorraine's Facebook, you can see them. She's on Facebook Live right now, and they've moved their microphones together. They look like two peas in a pod sitting here in the studio, so they can both fit in the camera.
We are two peas in a pod.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the classes tomorrow. Make sure everybody's aware and how to register for those classes, and then we're going to get back to Russ's very important question from the break. So, how do they register for the classes tomorrow?
So it is an Eventbrite link, but if you will just text me at 210-288-5970 and tell me if you're interested in the noon class or 6 p.m. class, I'll send you the Eventbrite link, and you can go on and register that way.
Perfect. So again, everybody be texting Lorraine at 210-288-5970. And I also found you at howmoneyworks.com/Lorraine Cummings.
Right.
Can they go there as well?
The link for the class is not on there.
Okay.
But your phone number's there. But my phone number's there. Or my link tree. I have a link tree, which is just linktree.com/Lorraine Cummings.
And what times are the classes tomorrow?
Noon and 6 p.m. And they will start on time because Don's very type A personality. And they will start on time, so be early. Don't be walking in
And attending is going to break the bank at $6 a piece, right?
Absolutely. And with that, you get a book. And hot off the presses, I am one of the very few in our company that actually has this book in Spanish.
That's awesome.
And I only have five because it's not been released to everybody for purchase yet. So I do have five. So if you would prefer a book in Spanish, you need to come early and get that because that's all I have.
Because that way, I mean, the class will be in English, but this way, if you're more comfortable or if you have a family member that you think would benefit, that would be more comfortable reading about the information and getting their financial literacy in Spanish, they can do it that way now.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. So let's talk about Russ's whole plan of, I'm going to rely on Social Security when I retire.
So I have a great story for that. After my divorce, I moved to Florida, and my next-door neighbor was 73 years old, and she still worked full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I was like, Mary Jane, why don't you retire? Why are you still working? She said, I have to. I have to work to pay my rent. And I said, really? I was like, you don't get Social Security and stuff? And she's like, I do, but it's $1,300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about you, but that don't pay most people's rent.
It wouldn't pay my rent.
Since she didn't do any planning,
mm-hmm.
she didn't have a house she owned outright. She was renting, and all she had was $1,300 a month to live on. Could you live on that, Russ?
He says Russ says he can live on $1,300 a month. I could not live on $1,300 a month. I will admit.
I might,
my
could,
rent is
but not
$1,
to the lifestyle I've grown accustomed to.
Yeah,
and I have no desire to bring it down that way. So it really broke my heart to see her that way. So
mm-hmm.
guess who picks up the slack now to help her out? I've actually moved her from Florida to Arizona to live here with me.
Oh, that's so nice.
And so I'm the one who takes primary care of her, you know, so she doesn't have to work. She can just live on her Social Security. But I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to do that. So when I started with Don, the first thing I did was set up my own retirement. And one of the things I also did was I did long-term care planning.
Okay.
Because I also didn't want my kids to have to take care of that for me. You know, that's not their responsibility. And I have one child with Asperger's,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just be happy if he takes care of himself.
Yeah,
you know?
I get it.
I didn't want that. So I definitely thought that was a very important part of retirement planning was long-term care.
And so you're not liking my whole retirement plan either of, well, that's what I had a kid for, right? He's gonna take care of me in my old age?
Sweetie, I hope you're lucky enough that he takes care of you in your old age.
I have four, and they've all convinced it to me that none of them will take care of me. They're going to probably send me to the nursing home. So I want to make sure that doesn't happen, too, because who's going to pay for that? Yeah, well, yeah.
The nursing homes are expensive.
Oh,
very,
very expensive.
And I find it interesting that people are like, well, Medicare pays for nursing homes. No, not really.
No,
I mean,
not at all. They don't pay anything. In fact, Medicaid
does.
But
yeah,
Medicare,
exactly.
If you own a home and you go to a nursing home, the average nursing home stay. So my mother and I used to own a business. We took at a 3 and under home where we took care of elderly people.
Okay.
That, and this is 4 years ago. For 24-hour care, and the people come to us, they're like, oh, my God, this is so expensive. It was $6,600 to have somebody, $6,600 4 years ago, a month. Well, yeah, because that's 24 hours a day.
Right.
We had to have, there has to be somebody awake 24 hours a day with them. So because that's, and you can't just have just anybody. So we actually hired CNAs that came in, and my mom was a nurse, an LVN. So we had constant care. Plus, you got to feed them. Plus, you got to bathe them. But, I mean, people don't realize how expensive it is when you're in retirement to have somebody care for you. And then are we just going to put them in front of the TV? That wasn't us, you know.
Right.
So we, you know, entertain different things. So when she talks about long-term care, that is very real. The average American, only 8% of Americans have that long-term care and the need. The average stay in a nursing home is 2.5 years. You live longer in a home that isn't a nursing home when you get to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we would tell people that. You know, you can ask. I think I saw Jeannie Hess on there. She knows. She was one of our clients. And we loved her mother-in-law. I mean, Miss Brony would come in. I was telling Lorraine the other day. I said, I'd get in bed and snuggle and read with her. She had immaculate generation. So, again, she couldn't just get out of bed and start walking because she couldn't see where she was going.
Right.
So having the understanding of what long-term care, how big it is, my mom and I are only 21 years apart. You know, could I take care of my mom on something like that? You know, maybe not. Maybe so. Her long-term care, you ask her, is to move in with me.
Well, and it kind of depends on what's wrong with them. I mean, I actually was the branch manager of a home health and hospice for a couple of years. So I'm familiar with what you're talking about, amazingly enough. And it depends what kind of care they need, too, because if all of a sudden you got to bring medical equipment in, or somebody with dementia and the family can't, I mean, you know, if they start to wander and you can't truly take care of them anymore, it's hugely expensive.
Very. Yes, yes. And it's only going to get higher. They're expecting, you know, the increase, it's about 15% increase a year. 15%. Because, you know, having, again, 24-hour care or even 12-hour care, you know, so they have those in between where you can go into a retirement community and have step up, you know, where you end up selling your house to pay for that. Is that really where you want your inheritance to go?
And that's great if you own your house, if you rent.
That's right.
That's right.
Like
and
Mary
so
Jane.
It's a whole new problem.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at the number of people that don't. I mean, I'm renting right now, but it's temporary. We took the money that we got from our house that we sold when we moved here and put it away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to with the intent of using it as a down payment to buy another house.
Sure, sure. Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of people that never own a home. Never. They rent all their lives. And so where's their asset? What then will they do?
Right. Which is fine. You know, I guess I kind of look at it as I looked at my house as part of my savings program because, you know, I could be renting, but if I'm renting, then the money that I'm saving on having to buy a new water heater or having to do regular maintenance on the home, I could be saving. I mean, it's kind of depends on how you look at it. I mean, I can see both sides of that coin, but as long as you're saving it.
That's how we explain it to types of insurance, too. There's term and then there's permanent.
Right.
Do you want to own your policy or do you want to rent it and your money is getting thrown away and there's no investment at the end of that 30-year term? Yeah, you had coverage, but is that what you're looking for? So we explain different things on that and where there's a need for that and where it's, you know, where's the bigger necessary on permanent stuff for like with Lorraine, you know, not wanting her son to have to care for either of her boys and thinking of that going, you know, maybe she wants a different type of care, having that permanent type policy. So education is such a key thing.
And I hadn't even thought about life insurance that way. I will admit I have term because I kind of looked at it as, well, I'm going to need a different amount once my kid turns 18. I mean, I had a very large amount because I took into consideration that, okay, well, what if my husband has to also find a caregiver for him? And what if he has to, you know, there's expenses that you don't think about necessarily when they become a single-parent household. And so I took that into consideration. But kind of looked at that and went, well, once he's 18, he won't need to hire a caregiver and I can get less coverage. But I guess I could have done that with whole.
Or permanent. You know, there's different strategies. So I do a term perm placement. I teach those because, to your point, you know, when my house is paid off, do I need $500,000 worth of insurance? No. Right, exactly. But I still want to be able to have certain amounts of money. And I like to teach people, well, what if I can show you one payment that can pay for three different things? You know, and you can have a permanent policy. You can have retirement. You can have different strengths of that. And so, again, that's why I say there is no one-size-fits-all. It literally is different for you, which will be different for him, which will be different for us.
Right. And I'm also thinking about, you know, I don't want to have my family out having to do a car wash for my funeral.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, GoFundMe. Okay, yes. GoFundMe, you're right. GoFundMe is the latest thing.
Well, there's my thing. So many people think, well, why do I need to insure my kids? You know, they're 18 years old. I don't need insurance yet. Okay.
Oh, no, my son has life insurance just for funeral expenses. It's not a huge amount.
Thank you.
But
yes. But, you know, you've got to think of those things at a funeral. And there is no, most people think, okay, now when you go funeral shopping, are you going to shop around? Yeah, well, are you really going to? You're still shopping around. There is differences in cost.
Yes,
We help with that as well because that's another place that people don't understand. They think, oh, it has to cost $15,000. No, not necessarily.
No.
You know, and so we talk about those things because I'd rather you have it and not need it and need it and have it. Not
well,
have it.
And even at the same funeral home, you can, you know, one casket costs a lot different than another casket.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Russ is showing me Sam's Club caskets. Yes, I'm familiar that Sam's Club costs too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has caskets. Okay. Totally familiar.
Yeah.
I'm like, because you know, I guess I was like my dad. I couldn't decide what I wanted to be when I grew up. And so I actually worked for a funeral home for about a year and a half as well. So totally familiar with the Sam's Club casket. So, yeah, and on that somber note, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Hope lives here in California. But during these challenging times, we could all use a little extra support. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 emotional support resources. Or call our warm line at 1-833-317-4673.
Listen to Sean Hannity weekdays from noon to 3 right here on 560 AM KBLU. Sean Hannity is brought to you by Liberty Motorsports on Arizona Avenue for all the best motorsports products in the industry, plus your service needs since 1981.
On Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I'm Kimberly Kale, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and we took Russ Clark's microphone away today. Sorry. He still chimes in here in the studio, for those of you that don't know, but everybody that knows him, I know, probably expects that. And so we are here talking about how money works. We have Lorraine Cummings. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning.
And we have Dawn Levis.
Levis.
I'm like, my notes are missing. And so, but by now I've figured it out. So good morning.
Good morning.
And so we were kind of talking a little bit about the break. So, you know, how money works. We're mostly talking about retirement. And as Ross put it, what are your retirement plans? Are you choosing to eat cat food on Wednesdays? Which, that's literally what he said, just so everybody knows.
It really was.
Or play golf every day, which I'm sure would be my husband's ideal retirement. Or travel, which would be my ideal retirement. So what do you guys want to do? What do you guys want to, I mean, to me, that's what you want to be when you grow up. I mean, in reality, I love running the chamber, but what I want to be when I grow up is independently wealthy so that I can just travel the world.
Well, I have very similar plans, Kim, actually. So, really, I do plan on kind of retiring early. I plan on working for maybe another 15 years and building up my nest egg. But my big dream is to actually retire and live in Europe.
Okay, and where would you go in Europe?
Everybody loves to ask me that. The purpose of living in Europe is so I can go everywhere. And it's
right,
all
well,
really
exactly.
Close together.
Absolutely, they are.
So I've loved to travel. I love seeing other countries and other cultures. And, you know, I'm a veteran. And I was a military wife, so I love to travel and get to know other people. So it would really just be to see Europe and all over. I have been very blessed that I have got to visit a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And it really would be just to travel and get to meet new people and that sort of thing.
And so you've got your year rail pass already planned out and...
Pretty much.
I'm like, I've been to Europe lots of times, so that's what I'm like. And so, Dawn, what about you?
So I have kind of a double-edged sword. We just bought some property in 11 acres, and I'm kind of building my oasis. My family and I have actually taken probably 67 trips in the last 10 years. We wanted to travel with our kids while they were young.
Mm-hmm.
I was more about experience than I was stuff. So, like, my kids didn't get cell phones, so they were really late.
Yep.
You know, so they can have good conversation pieces, and, you know, most of my kids still like to do that. So I want to create my own oasis, and yeah, I'll still travel some, but I'm going to be traveling to my backyard, and my husband can retire in 7 years, and my goal is to retire in 10. Our oldest son and his wife are actually in our business because we want this to be a multi-generational business, so we're educating our family. They both have their license, and so the goal is for them to take it over and continue what we're building right now, so we're building it together.
So what are you going to do in your backyard? I just want to know. I mean,
So if you saw my drawings, I want to have a school that looks like an L for Levis, right?
Okay.
And half of it's kind of like that. You know, like when you go to a water park and it's real shallow, you can kind of go in there because Mariana, if you're watching,
that's
I'm really waiting for a grandbaby. I just wanted to throw it out there. So my grandbabies can come over. The other part is for... barbecuing, and I really want to sit out and rock my way, you know, fireplace pit floating.
But I'm under the assumption, and I could be wrong, that this retirement, though, is also going to pay for somebody to clean the pool.
So if you've met my husband,
okay.
His name is John, but I want to get him a shirt that says, I am Juan, the pool cleaner.
Oh, okay.
In the backyard, he's the Juan, the lawn boy, too.
Awesome.
The kind of big joke that we have a running joke for him because Juan, John, that kind of goes together. So he's my Juan. He is the pool boy, and I can chase him.
So he likes to do that anyway?
That is his favorite thing to do.
Wow. To make him live at
and
my house.
And he does laundry, too.
Oh, yeah. See, my husband does laundry.
Yeah?
That actually kind of works.
Yeah.
And so here's my question. So does he have equal understanding of your finances?
He actually has a license, very much so. So one thing about people don't understand about insurance is it is a regulated industry.
Yeah.
And so if something ever happened, the only way our family could have it is you have to have a license to understand it. It's very regulated, constantly having to get credit hours, understanding what back. That's what he's doing right now is working on his CE to stay up to date with it. So
okay.
We're a family that actually is growing together with this.
Okay, and he knows the business finances. He knows your personal finances.
Yeah.
He knows the terrible hit by the bus theory.
He knows all of that. In fact, he is what I consider my CFO. So I make him pay bills. We do it together. Even though it's like that, certain things with the business. We do it together, every ounce of it. I think it's strong having your business partner being also your mate in life.
And I think that's a great idea. I mean, would you guys advise that? I mean, because that's one of the things I had somebody else recently ask me.
Rush is shaking his head.
I know. But I had somebody just ask me about my level of financial literacy, and I'm pretty comfortable with it, but I've been running businesses for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very comfortable even with my personal finances because I know how to budget, and I know how to, because you can't run a successful business without having some financial literacy, maybe not as much as you'd like, but still some. But it occurred to me that kind of the same boat that my dad's in. My husband, I don't know that he knows where I pay the rent. I don't know if he knows how much it is.
Mm-hmm.
We have discussed the other bills. We have discussed, I just asked him not that long ago, do you know who our electric company is? Do you know how I pay the water bill? Do you know who provides our internet? Do you know all of that? And making sure that he knew my password to everything. Because, I pay almost everything online.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all do it anymore. Yeah.
And, most people do, exactly. What's a checkbook? So
I use those still.
I actually have some in my purse, amazingly enough.
Yeah.
But is that something that might be a good, first step for a family to...
I'm absolutely the advocate for that. Don and John have been on the same page for a long time, but me and my ex weren't.
Mm-hmm.
We both come from West Virginia. He definitely come from a traditional background where the man was the head of the household.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he was military, so he took care of all that. And I let him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a mistake on my part, is I should have been more involved because I brought in just as much money as him. I just didn't know where it all went.
Even if you didn't.
Even if I didn't. You're right. Even if I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I left all that to him. I just trusted him. And the big thing I learned is you have to be responsible for your own finances.
Mm-hmm.
So looking back, I think, how great would it have been if I had stepped up and said, no, I am going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that. And then when the divorce came, I could have took my own retirement and maybe not even had to touch his military retirement.
Mm-hmm.
He would have loved me for that.
But of course,
it didn't work that way.
Right.
Because I did take part of it. And so, yes, I think both people need to make a plan and work together. Because like you said, when you're a partner in every aspect of your marriage, your business, your finances, all of it, the marriage is so much smoother.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're on the same page. You're wanting the same things. You're achieving the same goals. So, yes, I think it's super important.
But, we still have separate checking accounts.
Okay.
Still.
That's what works for you.
Yeah, well, and I think, a lot of it does. We have a lot of checking accounts, actually. But I have a theory. He works just as hard as I do, so I call it play money. And he puts, money in there, and I'm like, I don't care what you do with it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take it all out in ones and you're having fun, okay, that's not for real, John Levis. There's little jokes about, like that. That's because I think it's important to be able to have the ability to also have the individual, even though you're also grown up.
Right. Well, we do have a system for that. We don't have separate checking accounts, but we have a system where he's able to pull money out and I'm able to pull money out that is our own play money that doesn't have anything to do with the bills.
Yeah, well, but I think it's just as important as paying bills because if you work too hard and don't play, then you buy dumb things that aren't necessarily necessary.
Yep.
Got her there.
I'm like, nope, bite my tongue.
Still got to go home. I noticed
Russ is like, yep. Oh, no, I'm not one of those wives that hides the Amazon boxes, at least. I'm like, my husband knows. I mean, yeah. In fact, if I buy something, my latest was the Disney purse that's sitting back here, and it was all over Facebook, and my husband knew it was coming. And now I don't hide my frivolous purchases.
He is the Amazon. My husband is the Amazon purchaser.
Yeah, I don't shop as much on Amazon anymore because of everything shop local, but...
He's the Amazon chick.
I am. I love Amazon because I don't have to run around looking for what I want. It's all right there.
I know, but I'm the Chamber of Commerce. I have to tell you, you need to shop local.
I am an advocate, and I do
walk that walk. I used to get multiple Amazon boxes a week. But you know what? Speaking of saving money, that helped me save money.
Oh, yeah.
Because Amazon was too easy.
Mm-hmm, true.
And I discovered that if I actually have to go to the store and pick something up,
it might not be that important.
Do I really need it?
Oh, I like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
do I really need
you
it?
You need to come be part of our How Money Works. You can help with that, Kim. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. You're going to come on either the noon or the 6 o'clock, right, Kim? We're calling her out, you guys.
Let me also touch on the fact that being divorced, I'm in a new relationship now.
Okay.
And so from day one, I've been very open and honest with him about what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to make sure that he understood he wasn't inheriting a problem. We talked about money early on mm-hmm. in this relationship, how much I brought in, how much he brought in, mm-hmm. what our credit scores were. I wanted to make sure we were on the same page with that sort of stuff because what causes a relationship to end most of the time?
Oh, it's finances.
Mm-hmm.
Sex or money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one or the other, usually always. And so I wanted to make sure we were on the same page with that, and it's been something that we've worked together for.
Look at that, Rich.
Good job.
Russ.
Russ.
Oh, Russ.
She's telling him he's richer than he thinks he is. He keeps saying he's poor.
Yeah.
We do the same thing.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. my advice. When you start a relationship, don't go into it with only love in mind. Look and make sure that you're compatible in finances too mm-hmm. because that's a huge reason that relationships end. So mm-hmm. you got to be on that same page. And there's usually a spender and a saver. And in our relationship,
oh dear,
he's the spender, I'm more the saver.
Yeah, I'm the spender. I'll admit it. I'm the spender.
But we still have to come together and have neutral ground like mm-hmm. and be able to do that. So I definitely offer that advice to any young people starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Before you get married, talk about these things because they will become a big issue later on.
Okay, so with a little bit of time we have left, we're going to hit that class again one more time because you've got two classes tomorrow. They're only $6, so very reasonable, so you can learn more about what we've been talking about, get some ideas for yourself. And again, how do they register?
Just text me at 210-288-5970. Tell me which class you want, noon or 6 p.m., and I will text you the Eventbrite link, and then you'll go on and pay for your ticket there. I would rather you do that before coming to the class and not try to pay cash at the door because we will be busy taking care of stuff. So if you could, just go ahead and get your ticket at eventbrite.com.
So perfect. So if you want to go to the class tomorrow, preferably sometime today, so she's got a little bit of notice.
Yeah.
Again, 210-288-5970. And I want to thank you, Lorraine and Dawn. I mean, I learned some things this morning. I'm going to make sure that my husband understands our finances, and I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go look again and see where can I start putting more money for retirement because I'm in the same place that Dawn is with the kid growing up, and I got college expenses coming too.
Can I add one more plug?
Of course.
I actually also run a networking meeting here in Yuma.
Okay.
So if you go on, for small business owners. So if you find my Facebook page at Gratitude Referral Network of Yuma, you can come and network with us and show off your small business.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. This was Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the one-hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU.